The question was asked. So the question was asked on hand washing. When we wake up in the morning, how obligatory is it to wash our hands? So we have three sources for why we wash our hands in the morning. One source being starting a new day. And just as the Kohanim, the priests, and the Beit HaMikdash in the temple would wash their hands before serving Hashem, before the holy service they did in the Beit HaMikdash, so too I, as I start my day, am going to wash my hands. And according to that line of reasoning, you only have to wash your hands in the morning. So we wash our hands three times from a vessel. So that's the opinion of the Rashba. Meaning the idea of washing hands in the morning is quoted in the Gemara. It's Talmud Tractate Brachos. And on that Gemara, we have two explanations plus another Gemara. So that Gemara tells me you wake up in the morning, you wash your hands, and that's what's ruled in the Shulchan Aruch and the Codex. And the reasoning behind it, says the Rashba, is because you're starting your day, you're starting the service of Hashem, just like a Kohen who's starting his tasks. We wash our hands. If that's the reason, like the Rashba, then I have to wash my hands in the morning, but I wouldn't have to wash my hands in the afternoon before prayer or in the evening before prayer. Then we have the opinion of the Rosh. The Rosh is a short, it's a conjunction of Rabbeinu Asher. There was a rabbi in Germany whose name was Rabbeinu Asher. Rabbeinu Asher learned under the Rabbi Yechiel of Paris, or otherwise known as Rabbi Yechiel mi Paris, one of the Tosafists. He then learned under the Maharam. There was a rabbi in the city of Rutenberg called the Maharam of the city of Rutenberg. The Maharam was taken by the local governor for ransom. He wanted the people, the Jewish community, to pay him a lot of money. He couldn't find a good way to tax them. So he said, okay, I'm taking your rabbi. You want him out of prison, you have to pay. Now, everyone knew the Maharam did nothing wrong. So in the prison, they treated him very well. They gave him food, they gave him drink, and they let him give shir in the prison. And the Maharam would give shir. His Talmidim would come to the prison, and he would give the classes. And everyone knew he did nothing wrong, so they just treated him nicely. It was a way of pressuring the community to pay more money to the governor. Well, the Maharam told the community, don't pay the money, because if you're going to pay the money, this is extortion. They're just going to come up with a new reason and put someone else in prison and put me in prison again. Don't pay the money. And he stayed in prison. And from there we learn many halachot of what you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do and what not. The Maharam was an old man, and when he was cold in prison, he would tell the prison guards, hey, you know, I'm cold. And then they'd up the fire for him. They liked him. They had nothing against him. From there we learn, from that story of the Maharam, we learn that although I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do work on my behalf, but for sick people, I'm allowed to ask to do work on their behalf. Well, here we have the concept that hakol cholim etzel tzina. We're all considered sick people when it comes to being cold. You don't have to freeze. You're allowed to indicate to the non-Jew you would like him to up the fire for you on Shabbos, even though he's going to end up upping the fire on your behalf. But just like you're allowed to do it for sick people, you're allowed to do it for cold people. So the Maharam in prison was allowed to tell the jailers, hey, I'm cold, and then they'd make a better fire for him, even though technically they were doing work on Shabbos on his behalf. So the Maharam in prison had decent treatment, but he was in prison. When the Maharam passed away, so his disciple, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, was supposed to be the next rabbi. Rabbeinu Asher said, oh no, if I become the next rabbi, they'll throw me in prison. He ran away. And he ran to Spain. Now, in Spain, we had the Ramban, Achmanides, who was chief rabbi, and then his disciple, the Rashba. And then when the Rosh came along, so they appointed him rabbi in Spain. Well, the Rosh was an Ashkenazi, and the Ramban, and here he is in Spain, above all of these Sfaridim. So they said, no problem, it's one Torah. And then they started discovering that there were differences. But he remained rabbi of Spain, and he writes many different things. Do we have Sfaridim here? Good, so I won't annoy anyone. One of the things the Rosh writes is that back in Ashkenaz, I could eat chicken because the Ashkenazim, they have a great tradition. Their tradition, everyone knows, it goes back centuries. Here in Sfarad, he says, I'm a little bit more concerned. Their tradition isn't as strong as our tradition. So Sfaridim have all kinds of sources that say things pro-Sfaridi. This is an interesting source that's pro-Ashkenazi. Right? The Rosh says, when I moved from Ashkenaz to Sfarad, I had to limit myself as far as my diet because I couldn't trust the Sephardim as much as I trusted the Ashkenazic tradition. So the Rush is special. The Rush's halachic work is very much Ashkenazi. His son was, he had a few sons. One of them was Rabbi Yaakov, who wrote the book The Tur, the Baal HaTurim, which is the basis for the Shulchan Aruch. So if we're doing Jewish history already in this Q&A, we might as well tell another interesting story. The Rush had a little son, and his little son wrote a biography. He wrote a little bit about himself. And his youngest son, maybe his name is Rabbi Yehuda, I don't remember. His youngest son writes that as a child, he was the youngest, so he was pampered. And because he was pampered, he'd always be homesick, and he wouldn't go, and he wouldn't learn, and he'd waste his time. This is what he writes about himself. And then he became a young man after that type of lifestyle. And we have to understand, when he writes, I waste the time, that means on their level he wasted the time. He was probably a very learned person. But he says, I didn't live up to my potential because I was the baby of the family. And then my father married me off. And then I got a position as rabbi. And then being completely miserable and poor and married and with responsibilities, so then I had to start learning. That's when I started learning because I had no choice. Right? That's what he writes about himself. So the Rush had a few children who were Talmidei Chachamim. And the Rush himself wrote his work, which is a halachic work, the basis of the Tur, and much of what we do in Ashkenaz is based on him. There's another famous work called Rabbeinu Yerucham. Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Beis Yosef writes, will almost always go like the Rush. So the Rush was in the time period of the Tosafis, and coming back to our question here of why do we wash our hands in the morning? Why is the Talmud in Masechet Berachot, Tractate Brachos, tells to wash our hands in the morning? So the Rush writes a different reason. The Rush says, every time you come to prayer, you have to wash your hands. So our sages said, in the morning, wash your hands. They meant, before prayer, wash your hands. According to the Rush, before I go to Daven Mincha, I also have to wash my hands. Before I go to Daven Arvit, I also have to wash my hands. So we don't rule like the Rush. In the sense that people Daven, you see, people don't go run to wash their hands. And if we would rule like the Rush, then, if we would, which we don't, then on Mincha and Ma'ariv, you would have to go wash your hands three times from a vessel and make a blessing al Netilas Yadayim. We don't rule like the Rush. So in the morning, before davening, we wash our hands. If we were to rule like the Rush, if we would, then when should we really wash our hands and make the blessing al Netilat Yadayim? Just before davening, right? Just before Shachrit. When do we wash our hands? We get up. We go and take care of our needs. We wash our hands and make a blessing. Al Netilat Yadayim, right? So our blessing indicates that we pretty much go like the Rashba. But we do factor in the Rush's opinion in that before Mincha, before Arvit, you really should wash your hands from a vessel. The correct thing is we don't make a blessing over it, but it is the more appropriate thing to do. What about the washing in the morning? That's obligatory. So we had the Gemara in Tractate Brachos that told us you wake up in the morning, you wash your hands. Now we have another Gemara. The first Gemara was halachic. When the Gemara tells me halacha, I know what I got to do. Now, a person will tell me, hey, I'm new to the tshuva process, it's hard for me, I have dry hands. Okay, whatever, I'm not arguing. A person has to grow in accordance with their comfort level, but we have to know what we're striving to do. This should be on our to-do list. Eventually, I'm supposed to be washing my hands when I get up in the morning. How do I wash my hands? That goes on to another Gemara. So we have another Gemara, and this Gemara is different than the first one. The first one in the Talmud, in Tractate Brachos, we have a few pages that discuss how you're supposed to run your morning. That's where it says the 15 blessings we say of thank you for giving me the ability to see, thank you for giving me the ability to walk, matir asulim, zokef kifufim, the ability to stand upright. Yes? You see, Chazal didn't take that as obvious. So you have the whole order of how your morning's supposed to look like in those two pages in Tractate Brachos. So it's all halachic. Then we have another Gemara. This is what you might call EGBG. The Gemara says, Bat Melechi. The Gemara says, she is like the daughter of a king. Umak Pedet, and she's very careful. And if you want to remove her, you have to do it right. And the Gemara doesn't say what do it right means. So the Kabbalists tell us, when you're washing your hands in the morning, you have to realize while you were sleeping, you had a taste of death while you were sleeping. And there is some kind of spirit that rests on a person while he's asleep. Your neshama goes up and gives an accounting in heaven, and that gives an ability to some kind of spirit to settle on us as we sleep. We wake up in the morning, our neshama comes back, right? So now I'm back, I'm the holy Jew I was yesterday or better. I have a new start, and she leaves, this spirit. But she remains on the fingernails, or the fingers. That's why, what? I didn't say who. It says Bat Melech. And in order to get her off, you have to do it right. What does that mean, do it right? So we have come to accept the opinion of the Shlach Kodosh, which says to do it right means to wash your hands alternatively, three times. One on the right, one on the left. One on the right, one on the left. One on the right, one on the left. You alternate, that's the way to get rid of it. So when we wake up in the morning, we should do that, because the Talmud says, Yad lechavi tikatzetz, a hand that tries to touch a barrel of wine before they wash the hand, that hand should be cut off. It doesn't mean cut it off. It means a very bad idea. That whatever you have left on your hands when you wake up in the morning can harm that barrel. Yad lepeh, the Gemara says, if someone touches his mouth before he washed his hands, tikatzetz, should cut it off. Doesn't literally mean cut it off. This is a different Gemara than the first one. This is an Agadic Gemara. So the Gemara speaks in Agadic terms, but we still take that Gemara practically. We say when we wash in the morning, it's different than other hand washes. It's the one time we wash three times on each hand, and we alternate. When you wash for bread, you do one, two, you finish, right? When you wash for almost anything else, you do one, two, you finish. Here you have to alternate. Why? I don't know why. Now, once upon a time, I was younger than I am now. And I met someone who they told me that if you give him food that you touched before you wash your hands in the morning, he gets sick. I said, I don't buy it. They said, don't do it. I said, I don't buy it. So I did it, and he got sick. It's an unfortunate true story. And I'm a stubborn person. At least I'm stubborn in that what doesn't make sense to me, I'm not so quick to accept. I didn't like touch the food directly because the Gemara says the barrel. If you touch the barrel. So I touched the bag, right? I had a bag of cookies. I touched the bag of cookies. I held the bag of cookies and then I offered him one. And I did it twice. And twice, in the middle of the day, I used to sit with him in the Beis Medrash. We're friends, and I didn't believe what people said about him. So I in the middle of the day, I hear him saying, I ate something that someone touched without washing their hands today. I said, why do you say that? He said, because my throat's hurting me like that. I didn't believe it till I saw it. I'm a skeptic. So I don't know. You know, when these Gemaras tell us things like this, I don't know what to tell you. We had someone in our yeshuva. I was once in the car with him, and he tells each kid, have a good day. And then one of the kids, as he's taking his hand, he says, you didn't wash your hands this morning. And the kid says, you're right. And we all turn and look at the guy like, how did you know? Like, he had a bunch of kids in the car, and he took each kid's hand, and he told them, have a good day. And then one kid, he said, when you go to school, wash your hands again. And the kid looks at him and says, how'd you know, Abba? And I was thinking the exact same thing. And he says, I don't know, it just feels clammy or something, right? Okay, maybe. So I don't know. You know, the Gemara is talking on about something we don't understand, what this stuff is. But again, the Gemara says that if we touch our apertures, the opening of the nose, the opening of the ears, the opening of the eyes, the opening of the mouth, any opening in the body, so then somehow it harms the body. And if you touch food, so the Gemara talks about a barrel of wine, but the commentaries understood it to mean any vessel with food should not be touched with those hands. Now the halacha says if you did touch it, you're allowed to eat it. It's not like if you touched a box of cereal, no one should eat it, but you should wash your hands right when you get up in the morning. So some people say, but I'm not comfortable with it. I get up in the morning, I want to wash my hands with soap. Fine, wash your hands with soap and then do this. Doesn't hurt, you know, fill a cup, wash, one, two, one, two, one, two, gamanu, you did it. What's the big deal, you know? There's nothing wrong with adding it to your schedule in the day. If people find it hard, so you'll wait with it. But eventually, this is a halacha. This isn't a stringency. Get up in the morning, this is something you're supposed to do. You do not have to leave a cup with a bowl next to your bed. people did not do this in the past, and you don't have to do it. There are opinions that say you do. I personally do not. Yes? Yeah, but there are other interpretations to that, and you see that no one did it. So we didn't accept that opinion. I know you'll read many works that say you shouldn't take 4 footsteps, it should be right next to your bed, etc. Fine, I'm telling you personally, I don't do it. My father didn't do it. My grandfather didn't do it. I'm not doing it.
Is there actually any halacha when you don't have a vessel available to do the washing?
Okay. If you do not have a vessel available, so then at least you have to accomplish the first two things we said, to cleanse your hands. So then you wash your hands, and when you'll have a vessel, you'll do it with a vessel. What happens if you have no water available? Sometimes soldiers in the army don't have water. So number one, the Mishnah in Tractate Erevin tells us that our sages were lenient on soldiers when it comes to washing hands. They said soldiers have a hard time focusing on it. They have to be focused on what they're doing. So soldiers, if it's hard for them, if they don't have ample water as they're traveling or whatever, so our sages were lenient for soldiers. And other travelers, there are other scenarios where our sages were lenient. If a person is traveling and he doesn't have water, or he doesn't have enough water to use it for this, so then they should cleanse their hands, and when they'll have water, they'll wash them. You cleanse them when you wake up in the morning. Now, if possible, cleanse your hands. It's okay. So we covered a little bit about washing hands today. Shukrah.